Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Everybody, thanks for joining us on Wealth Protector Radio. I'm here with my colleague Brad Barth, who's an expert on estate and asset protection planning. Brad, hello.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And so we're going to start today on a very important topic. This is something that Brad brought up to me long ago when he was speaking to a Vistage group in Texas. And the idea came up, and Brad, you can jump in a minute, about people who are trustees for the family trust, and they run into problems. They don't know what they're doing. It gets complicated. And so the idea of a trustee coach came up. You mentioned it to me briefly. What's that all about?
Great. Well, it's a great question because it's something that does come up quite a lot. And it comes up quite often, especially when I'm giving my Vistage talks regarding estate planning and business succession planning, because in those groups are all business owners who have their own obligations, businesses, families, but they also find themselves being a trustee either because of a deceased parent or maybe they're the trustee over a sibling. And so the case in question that I was referring to was a business owner who was now the trustee of a separate trust created for his sister's benefit. And as you can imagine, like any business owner, he was very, very busy. And he came to me and says, listen, this is all great information that you're delivering to me, Brad. However, I'm a busy guy, and I'm managing my sister's trust, and I have to deal with her lawyers and her real estate agents and her financial advisors, and I don't know what to do. I'm coming, I'm going, and the information that I'm presenting was very beneficial from a broad brush perspective, but he wanted to know nitty-gritty, what are his obligations as a trustee? And so I explained to him that being a trustee is a very big responsibility. It's got a huge amount of liability associated with it. There's because you are a fiduciary.
What does that mean, liability? Like somebody could sue you if you do the wrong thing?
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's exactly what I always tell people. There's no higher fiduciary duty in the land than being a trustee, because effectively you're managing the assets for somebody else.
And
the challenge is that most people who are thrusted into the position, most of the time involuntarily, out of pure obligation to family members or friends.
Because it's like, I'm picking Uncle Benny and he's the trustee, bad idea type
thing. Exactly, because Uncle Benny doesn't know the first darn thing about trust administration, right, about fiduciary duties, about financial investments, but yet they're held to the highest standard. And so getting back to this particular business owner, I was explaining to him that what he needs a coach. You know, it wasn't a matter of doing away with acting as trustee. Obviously, your parents chose you to be the trustee because they felt that you were in the best position to manage those assets for the benefit of your sister.
Yeah.
Maybe because of the knowledge, the love, and relationship. Obviously, the key word in trustee is trust. They trusted you. But it doesn't mean that you have to know everything, but you do have to know where to turn to get everything. And so it's not a matter of throwing away the duties and responsibilities of being the trustee. It's having somebody who will coach you through the process. And I use the word coach because I think that's exactly what it is. You look at ball players, you look at other professionals, you got business coaches, you got acting coaches, you got singing coaches, you got you name it. Every profession that wants to strive in their area needs to have a coach, an expert to help them manage the duties, to keep them on task, to help them with their obligations and their timing, and to push them and move them through the process, to coordinate the real estate agent, to coordinate the trustee's attorney, to make sure they're doing a good job. Because ultimately, as the trustee, it's your responsibility. It's your pen. And rather than being on a roller coaster, be in control, but have someone to help you be in control. That's kind of the coaching I was talking about.
And you bring up a good point, because even the experts, the professional ball players who are, you know, smart guys, great at their craft, they need help too.
Yeah, totally. And having done administration now for 20 years, litigation in this area, probate, trusts, administration, I've one of the biggest things that I find from the clients that we wind up being trustees counsel for, they really feel like they're on that roller coaster. They're not in control. And so I would imagine that any other individual who's a trustee would feel the same way, that all you're doing is putting papers in front of me to sign, but I don't know if I'm coming or going or where am I in the process. But I think with the coach themselves wouldn't be the trustee's counsel. The coach would work with the trustee, with the trustee's counsel. And, and I think that's a very important distinction, because what I'm concerned about in this area is that people relying on the trustee's coach as if it's the trustee's counsel. And in fact, no, it's basically the nexus between the trustee and the trustee's counsel to make sure everyone's coordinated and doing things proper.
Interesting. So as you're talking, I have this image in my mind of there's the trustee that's been appointed who has all the fiduciary responsibility. Then that person has to integrate with lawyers, tax people, real estate people, and the coach is there to serve as the right-hand man.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Because the trustee themselves needs to have their team. They have to have the financial. They have to have the tax. They have to have legal. The trustees, they need legal counsel, right?
Right, banking
relationships, dealing with the beneficiaries, dealing with the beneficiary spouses, special needs issues, all of the challenges, and the trustee is in the middle quarterbacking that entire thing. But the trustee needs someone to help them quarterback that, to help them conduct that orchestra, if you will.
So how does that relationship actually look on a go-forward basis? I mean, are there monthly meetings? Are there, is it conference calls? I mean, how does it actually play out?
Yeah, and that's, it's kind of on a case-by-case basis, because some trusts are much more engaging, more demanding in time, and some of them are a bit easier. I'll give you two different examples. One I'm working with right now, it's very hands-off. They got two adult beneficiaries, and really it's a matter of managing the finances, making sure some bills are paid, and doing some tax returns. Very hands-off. And on the other case, I'm paying, on another trust, I'm paying tuition for college, I'm paying car payments, I'm paying rent bills, I'm paying food bills, I'm paying credit cards. They want to buy a property. They're coming to me about looking at, is this the right type of property and investments, and you're much more engaged. So the amount of time that's involved, whereas the highly engaged individual, yeah, we are meeting maybe every month, every 6 weeks, and that could be done via phone, via video conferencing. Doesn't necessarily have to be an in-house, but something that you want to maintain that ongoing communication stream. Whereas my other people that are just kind of letting the assets grow and manage, they're getting a quarterly accounting, you know, and a trustee's report, and maybe an email every once in a while. It's much more hands-off. So I think that the coach would be the one that would allow to facilitate those in-between gaps. So if you're going maybe only once a quarter or maybe once semi-annually between the beneficiary and the trustee, the coach can be the one that's kind of keeping everyone in communication, just kind of reaching out and touching base, how's everything progressing, yeah.
And how do you know if you need a coach? I mean, is everybody who's a trustee need a coach, or is there a select group?
Oh, that's a great question, Paul. So I would think that trusts really kind of fall into two different categories. You have your typical trusts. I would say that no matter what, no matter even if you have an outright distribution, you're looking at about an 18-month engagement between mustering up all the assets, getting an inventory and appraisal. Even if you're just doing that and at the end of it paying everyone off and it's a one and done. I don't know if you need a coach for that, but maybe someone to kind of lean on a little bit. Maybe just ask questions. A typical trustee's attorney who's doing the administration should – I wouldn't raise that to the level of a coach. Now, you got someone that's got a trust that's going on for 10 years, that's going on for 15 years, 20 years in the case like that, yeah, there's a lot more moving pieces. You got long-term engagements. You got – now we're getting into the property sales, the banking investments, the, you know, all those other fiduciary duties and obligations that come along in that in a long-term situation. You could have drug and alcohol, special needs issues, business owners and dealing with business management teams. Okay, in a case like that, I think a coach is more appropriate.
Right. And it's so funny because I don't think people often understand what they're getting into. When they say, okay, I'll be the trustee, they don't understand. And so part of it's education, you know, understanding the all the liability and all that.
Yeah, I almost tell people, you know, kind of like in a kidding way, I say, if anybody ever asks you to be a trustee, your immediate response should be no. No. But we can't say no to our family, you know.
Right,
and
yeah.
So, but that's where we kind of, like I said, you wind up involuntarily in this position out of familiar obligation, but yet that doesn't necessarily mean that your liability is any less.
Right. And just I don't want to put you on the spot, but what are like one or two things where people get tripped up being a trustee, where they could get their kind of butts in a sling?
The most obvious one that comes to mind is just a lack of communication, lack of reporting. So in other words, they seem to think that they're the trustee and it's their money and they're managing it and they're not obligated or responsible to reporting to the beneficiaries. It's almost like, you know, like I'm the master of this engagement and I will let you know on a need to know basis only. That's a major problem. Because
what happens? People get pissed and then sue or something? Or?
Absolutely. There's no quicker way to get a beneficiary upset than to not give them information when they're asking for it. After all, you're managing it for their benefit.
Yeah.
And in trust land, trustees, as I mentioned, are held to the highest duty. And whenever a beneficiary complains, the court will come down like an angry bear on a trustee because they have a duty. It's not their stuff. You have to be responsive to the beneficiaries. So the first problem I always see is just simply a matter of a lack of communication. And I think the second area would just be the trust demands certain things. Certain things have to happen. When one spouse passes away, trusts are required to maybe break into sub-trusts. Maybe you got to keep accounting separate. There are certain things just from a practical and logistical point of view that have to happen that someone who doesn't know what to do, they won't do the subdivision. They won't have the separate accounting. They won't have the separate tax returns. They're looking at it as just one pool of money, and they're kind of slinging money back and forth between beneficiaries. Or they're treating the beneficiaries not equally. I have a great relationship with my nephew, not so much with my niece. And so it's in the implementation. They're not following the terms of the trust, or their emotions are getting the better of them.
Right. Yep.
So I think those are two really big ones. It's just a lack of communication, just a false sense of empowerment, which is completely false. And secondly, just a lack of knowledge of the complexity of what happens when somebody becomes incapacitated or passes away.
Great. Well, I got to say that as we end up here, if there's one thing I learned, if anybody comes to me and asks me if I want to be a trustee, no, it ain't going to happen. Scary.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Brad. And for all those listening, great information on getting a coach if you're asked to be a trustee. Call us anytime. We'd be happy to clue you in on what it's all about. Brad, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you, Paul.